Megillah Sester Perek Aleph Pasuk Chaf Aleph. We said in Pasuk Chaf that Memuchan gave advice that the decree of the king will be proclaimed throughout the entire great empire of 127 Medinos. V'chol hanoshim yitnu yikar lova alehen lemigadol v'yad katan. The wives will show respect to their husbands. All the wives, v'chol hanoshim, from upper class to lower class. So of course, to Achashverosh, who's still drunk and was just irate and is now being placated by a sleazy underling, this proposal pleased the king and his officials. Oh, they're thrilled. And the king did according to the word of Memuchan. And the Medrash says they brought her head in on a platter, literally. Maybe he had a little gross moment when he realized what he had done, but remember, he's absolutely drunk. He is the king, and the Sarim were happy too to give the king absolute power in such a situation and with such a kind of crude and unexpected and unprecedented event. But by Itava Davar, so the Gra, great Perush, says, Hodiya lanu bazeh hakasav, shehakadosh baruch hu mehapech libo shel adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can change the heart, the emotions, the motivation of a person on the blink of an eye. The king wanted to have her killed. The king saw it as a good thing to have her killed, even though this wasn't what he came up with. And the Sarim also want to have her killed. Are you kidding? He's got no self-control. He's got absolutely no thought of his own. Memuchan planted the idea in his head, and suddenly it's the greatest idea ever. Don't make big decisions when you're drunk. And Chav Beis, the key, Vayishlach Sefarim El Kol Medinos HaMelech, so he sent letters to all of the king's provinces, El Medino Medino Kichzava, to each province in its own language, in its own script. So Achashverosh is actually a very smart king. He lets all of his Medinos continue to have their own language instead of learning one official one. And that makes him a little more beloved, a little more popular, by letting them keep their traditional culture. The El Am Va'am Kil Shono, and to each people in its own language. Lios Kol Ish Sorer Beveso. So that every man should rule in his own home. Umidaber Kil Shonamo. And speak the language of his own people. So everybody, even a low-class worker in his own home, is going to be the boss, says the Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, which is the most fun take on this part of the Megillah, on Perek Aleph. So that's a lot of languages. But this gesture, Dr. Erica Brown makes a great point about this, very perceptive, may be regarded as an act of generosity or insecurity on the king's part, an almost feverish need to promote male power in every known language. Also, there may also be a hint at what it means for the costs of gullus, what it means to be in gullus. The mingling of languages represents the loss of one's native language. Sacrificed on the altar of assimilation, language is not only a means of communication, it becomes a holder for thought and culture. So, Lashon Am Va'am is brought down in Nehemiah as an example of rabid intermingling and assimilation and the refusal to come back, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, to be Jewish. So, this is a terrible thing that the king is doing. And it's a shift in law as well. The king now is going to have dictatorial powers. He won't be trapped in the lawyer's rat's maze of getting things done. But Rabbi Soloveitchik, so this order, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, is ridiculous. Here's Achashverosh coming up with a royal edict to all the provinces of the far-flung Persian Empire that is absurd, that women should give honor to their husbands, the man bear rule in his own house. Only an idiot could have given orders pertaining to a matter that could not be determined by legislation. This is one of my problems with some of the progressive current view that the government can fix everything and should be involved in everything. There are some things no legislation is capable of regulating the intimate relationship of husband and wife, says the Rav. But Providence willed Ahasuerus to issue this most ridiculous order, which undermined his prestige in the eyes of the people. They lost faith in him as a responsible leader. They looked upon him with contempt. Why? Why was it necessary to lose his credibility? So Rava says in the Gemara, Megillah Yud Beis Amud Beis, if it not for these first letters, not one survivor would have been left among the Jewish people. Because later it says that the people were going to kill the Jews, but they waited 11 months. Why did they wait 11 months? Instead of killing the Jews immediately, which is, of course, what we think anti-Semites would generally do, they waited until the appointed day. How come? Well, if the order about the rights of the male had not been sent by Ahasuerus, all the Jews would have been exterminated. Neither Esther nor Mordechai could have saved them. The whole miracle of Purim was made possible because of these stupid letters commanding females to respect the males. Everybody was commanded to be ready to execute the order on the 13th of Adar to destroy the Jews. In other words, the execution of the edict was postponed for 11 full months from the first month to the 12th. Why did the enemies wait 11 months to execute the order? They were afraid of something. Doubt bothered their minds. Fear dampened their malicious, fiendish enthusiasm. The previous letters sent out by the king amply demonstrated that the king lacked judgment, that he is simply stupid. They asked themselves, how could our emperor, who rules such a vast area, whose word is law, who determines the destiny of millions of people, act like a fool and issue edicts pertaining to relationship between husband and wife? The conclusion is that the emperor is irresponsible and unreliable. If so, who can guarantee that this edict, to kill the Jews, was planned properly and that the empire and his prime minister are sane and know what they are doing? Maybe the whole story is a hoax. We will later be punished for murder. So while the hate mongers, bigots, and killers decided not to act immediately, but to wait and see, to test the validity and the genuineness of the orders. If there is no change in the order by 13th of Adar, then the pogroms will start. So Rava says to us, if not for these letters, making everybody realize how irrational the king is, then maybe the later letters are taken more seriously than they are. As we said at the beginning, everything in this parak has tremendous ramifications for the Jewish people. Now, the Rav sees it clearly and portrays it clearly in his book, Days of Deliverance. So it's very fun to understand that all of this is being told not just for a great dramatic story, but also because it has bearing on what's going to happen.